Good evening, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and this evening I'm going to play and have fun, if you'll let me. I would like you to call in to get readings on your past lives. This is something that I like doing periodically, because for me it's a fun and easy thing to do. And it's something I so much enjoy because it tells me so much about people. And it's so enlightening to find out about your past lives and how it impacts what you're doing in this lifetime, how it helped create the skills and the gifts with which you're endowed in this lifetime, and makes life just a lot more interesting and fun. And I think, at least for me and for those who I know and have read for before and played and had fun with, it tells a lot about what we are doing, our temperament, our likes, our dislikes, and how we get along with people and what we do to make our lives better along the way. So this evening I am opening the door right now for you to call in to BBS Radio to get your free past life reading, or we can answer some other questions. And I'd like to make sure that you have that phone number, which I'm trying to put right in front of my little nose right now, so that you can call in and have a wonderful time talking. One of the things that we work with in life are the peculiarities in our life, the gifts, the things that we have challenges with. And I just found the BBS Radio's call-in number, 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. And a lot of the challenges that we meet in this lifetime are holdovers from the past life, but you know, a lot of the good things that we have in our life, the gifts, the talents, the understandings, the friends, the work we choose, the religion, everything else, all of this is a choice based on where we've been in the past. And where we've been in the past is often a sign of where we're going in the future, because we have a tendency to go to that which is familiar and comfortable. And we become uncomfortable when we meet situations that we're not quite sure how to handle, whether it's in work or in personal relationships, etc. And hypnotherapy and hypnosis has been really known a long, long time. It's been known by different names. It's mesmerism, by Mesmer, who was in France, and sort of brought it into the Western consciousness. There's a little bit of it that goes on in a different level when you see actors and actresses on the screen or on the stage, because they are, in essence, using a portion of their personality. You want to say personality, a portion of their desire to please other people and to reach out to people. And part of that is what hypnotherapy is. It's a part of you reaching out to enjoin or bring someone else into your sphere, if you will, of your influence. And actors and actresses, it's called charisma in that case. And for others, it's called someone who has just the ability to just enchant you. These are gifts that have been developed in former lifetimes. And when we become so enwrapped in a stage play or a movie program or whatever is going on around us, we actually put ourselves into a heightened or different stage of awareness. And it is that stage which we call hypnosis. There are four areas that are distinguishable, and there are many shades of gray within them, but the four stages that belong to the mind when you do EEGs are alpha, which is when you're awake and moving around, beta, which is the semi-sleep state consciousness, theta, which is where you are deeply asleep and you have dreams, and Delta, which is really comatose. And these stages of the brain, or they are measurable through electronic waves, which is what we call an EEG. So when you go into a hypnotic trance, you are simply putting yourself into an altered state of consciousness that is the same as when you are going to sleep at night and waking up in the morning. It's when a lot of times you have a recall of what you've dreamed about at night. A lot of precognition goes on in this point, and precognition, of course, is the becoming aware of something that's going to happen. And that is a gift that you can use. And while we're in this explanation, someone recently asked me, their child has a highly developed sense of precognition. And, you know, what can they do about it? The grandmother has this gift, the mother has it, the father a little bit, not as much, but the boy will dream of things that's going to happen. Like one time he dreamed if he went to school, he would be beaten by some bullies at school, and he did go to school and he was beaten. And they said, what can he do? And I said, well, you know, when you are given a gift of recognition, and this is part of expanded consciousness, this is a part of what we all have, part of the usage of this gift is to use it for your benefit. Now, knowing he had a precognitive dream, he could have changed what occurred. In other words, because you have a precognitive dream does not necessarily mean that you have to be helpless and you have to watch what's going to happen, that it's already foreordained. It's a probability that is very high. But given that, you can turn around and do something that will alter that future. That is to say, if you believe you're going to have an accident going down a road at a certain time, then what you do is you go earlier or you go later. You use your knowledge that is either given to you via your own higher self or a grandma or whomever may show up in your dream state. You could use that to alter the situation. Some things, I grant you, are not alterable because there's another higher purpose behind them. But we can indeed ask that whatever we see that we believe or feel is a negative can be made to be neutralized or buffered or lightened in some way, and that usually does happen. Almost invariably, when you take charge of your life and you open your mind and soul to these gifts, this does happen. So you don't have to think that you are condemned to go through whatever shows up in your life. Not by half. Part of the gift that we have is to be able to use any knowledge that we have to make our lives better. I mean, if you have a life knowing that coal is good for you for heating, why would you want to eat it or suffer by not using the coal the way in which it was meant, that is to burn it and heat it? One has to stop and think. Remember, once upon a time, people did not use coal to burn, and if someone had told these ancient people that you could burn rocks and be warm, I think they would have taken you out and tossed you in the witch's pile, because they couldn't believe that you could burn a rock and keep warm. But knowledge does come, and one of the higher sources of knowledge is our own mind and our ability to use whatever information we receive. Going back to that, now in the future, I am hoping that the information will get to this boy and his family. They can take the information and use it. And if he has another premonition like this, he can avoid the situation. He can report it. He can use it to go a different way to school, whatever. He also had premonitions about incidents that have happened around the world that are terrible. You know, there is a website that one can go to if one is particularly gifted in receiving these. You can use this gift to go to the website and report your premonitions, giving as much detail as you can, and it is kept for posterity, and it is studied by others. And what I would also strongly recommend in this case, if you are so gifted, to keep a journal of what's happening. So as you do, like any muscle, you can strengthen what it is that you are using. And this, in this instance, it would be your psychic ability or extended sensory perception. This is a fascinating way to track in your life, how you are growing. Because as you grow in wisdom and understanding, and as you grow as a person, the gifts that you receive, the extended sensory perception, that could be the gift of healing, the gift of vision, insight, it could be the gift of knowing, whatever the gift may be, as you use it to benefit your life and to benefit the lives of others, it becomes stronger and stronger until it becomes, as a muscle exercise, an innate part of you. And for me, this is one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give to the rest of the world, is the gift of knowing and healing. So, as I said, I would like people to call in, if you can, this evening to get a free reading and see what we can do from there. The other things that we could talk about is in hypnotherapy, you really put yourself in. You can also, in the use of this gift, get rid of fears and phobias within a very, very short period of time. What keeps a fear? What keeps a fear of flying or a knife or being in a closet or climbing a stair? What causes that? It is usually something that has occurred in this lifetime or in an earlier lifetime, which has a lot of emotion attached to it. And by that I mean some things for some people, there's an emotional intensity that goes with an incident. If you were shot in a former lifetime, for example, you might well be terrified of guns. And it's also possible that... Yes, good evening.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you? I was just thinking of you.
You are?
Yes. How are you, my dear? This is Leilani.
No, this isn't Leilani.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your voice is very similar to hers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is Dee from Brevard, North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Dee. How are you?
I'm real good. You and I are kind of email pals.
Okay. Yes. How may I help you this evening, my dear?
Well, I thought I'd call in for a past life reading.
All right. Anything in particular you are looking for, or just generic?
No, just generic.
All right. Let me think. Well, oddly enough, one of the things I'm getting is that, and they're both crossing at the same time, so I'm wondering why that is. So let me zero in a minute. I'm getting one of being in the religious order.
Okay.
And another of you being a traveler of some sort.
Okay.
And the odd thing is, the two are almost congruent, so I'm wondering if they were very close lifetimes or that you were perhaps in a religious order that was a traveling missionary.
Okay.
Does that strike anything inside of you?
Actually, it makes a lot of sense. I have been told that I was in a religious order before.
That you what?
That I was a monk.
Yeah, I was getting a mendicant, which is a male. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, I kind of always had the feeling, and see what you think about this.
Sure.
That I was in World War II, and that I died there. I can actually recur, you know, I can remember the death.
Okay. Yes, you were.
Okay.
And you were, I'm seeing airplanes. Is that correct?
I'm sorry?
I'm seeing airplanes.
Right, right.
Yeah, I am seeing airplanes. Yeah, you were shot down.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that
you
makes
have
sense.
A fear of flying or something that goes along with
oh,
that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I can tell you this one session, you would be able to get on a plane without any further thought. You just paddle on up and over. You know what the interesting part is, Jean, that I can share with you, is that my father was killed in World War II.
Uh-huh.
His plane was shot down over Germany.
Oh, my.
And he only got to see me for about 2 weeks before he was shipped over to England, where he was stationed.
Oh.
before he flew his missions. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. Fascinating. That's. Is there someone near you who could possibly give you a hypnotherapy session? Where in North Carolina do you live, darling?
I live in Brevard, which is about 30 miles south of Asheville. Well, I've actually just done hypnotherapy with Ray Reese. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, he was on the Dr. Valerie show a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And I've done some work with him recently.
Uh-huh.
We actually didn't cover that, though. We just did some other work.
Right.
But he's probably someone I could, get
in contact it should take no more than a session.
Okay.
Truly. It's a very, very, fears like that are very easy to set aside, especially as they're newer and you haven't had lifetimes upon which to build a stronger basis. But, yeah. Usually that's all it takes, darling. I'm betting on it. And it's interesting because I've met a number of people who died during World War II, by the way.
Yeah.
And
it's funny how we came back so fast, because I always thought you didn't come back so quickly.
I will tell you why. In this instance, our souls were well aware of the tremendous growth and the tremendous opportunity that was coming
in
this century,
okay,
in the change.
Yeah.
And I'm another soul that died, by the way, during that period of time and came back almost immediately.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So many of us came back. You remember the flower children?
Oh, yes,
okay?
Absolutely.
Why do you think they were so so against war?
Oh.
Because they died in World War II.
Oh, wow. Great.
Okay.
That's a great point. I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
But that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. They came back, and they didn't want another war. They knew. Okay?
Right.
You and I and the others like us who were born during the war years and shortly after were part of those who decided to come back. Some, I think there's a book by Rabbi Gebler, something of that nature. And he has a great book on reincarnation of souls who were Jews who died during that period of time and came back very quickly and were born all over the world into many different religions in order to prevent another Holocaust.
Oh, that's interesting. Because actually, I really think I was one of the Jews.
Yeah.
That
was my feeling. I wasn't going to go there because I didn't know how much therapy you were going to have. But if you can mention it, then it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were Jewish. No, you were American.
Okay? Oh, really? Okay.
You were American, and you went over, but I did not see you as a German. No.
Right. Right.
Or Polish,
I knew I wasn't.
Or something. But no, you were an American, and yes, you did die over there. And this is absolutely fascinating, you do have another lifetime or two where you have indeed, again, fought. I'm getting a picture of Roman times.
Okay.
And that's a period of history that you kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting that's one of those lifetimes where you and I'm seeing that you were in a hill country.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to say that you may have been around Rome. I do not see that you were sent out into what they call the barbaric far reaches of the north. I do see you having been stationed around Rome because I see you enjoying yourself and being a lover of wine.
Oh, really? I'm not a lover of wine anymore.
You're not. No. I think you got maybe your fill, perhaps, along those lines. It's, you have had several interesting lifetimes where you were a teacher. Did you know that?
Okay. It's funny you should say that because I have that calling now.
Uh-huh.
I've had an urge for the last just few months. I mean, all of a sudden, it's speeding up, that I need to be out there teaching.
Okay. Very strongly, I felt that you have teaching, and I think that a part of you, I almost see you preaching.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
I think that what you taught had to do with philosophies, and I think there are lifetimes in which you were what we would call a pacifist.
Oh, really?
That you would rather use the mind than the brawn. And yet, when called upon, you can fight, and you do well. But you have to be absolutely convinced that it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You cannot have any question in your mind that there's anything shady or unethical or not valid.
That's right.
Because when you put yourself into it, you put 150% in.
Right.
You don't
wow.
shirk. Is that correct?
That's very true. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, you go back a really, really long way, and I'm going to put you back even farther in Atlantis.
I'm not surprised. I always believed I was in Atlantis.
Yeah, I'm seeing you way back in that era, and I'm seeing you also almost in a teaching role, but I also see you more as a diplomat.
Oh, really?
Where you wanted to try and be conciliatory
uh-huh.
and to... Try and avoid the horrors of conflict.
Right.
It's just that your own soul has such a respect for life.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and you
sense.
Honor it. Yeah. And to you, brute force just doesn't make sense.
Right. It still doesn't.
Okay. So that's kind of where you come from. You come from a very long line. I could go back further if you want, but we'd have to leave the planet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, we'll have
yeah.
to do that another time, because I wouldn't
yeah.
mind that either.
You're what?
I said we'll have to do that another time, because I wouldn't mind leaving the planet either.
Well, you often have a feeling of stirring, of wanting to be up there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you often find yourself looking up and wondering what's up there, because you have a feeling on one hand that you know, and you're very frustrated and kind of annoyed with yourself that you don't know.
Right.
You know, and you have you ever read Dolores Cannon?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And you've read her Custodians, and you've read some of her other books?
I haven't read Custodians, but I have read some of her other stuff.
Okay, do
I
that.
To her every week
I think you'll find it... I think it'll resonate with you, and you'll say, well, yeah, of course, I remember that, or I know that. Now, why couldn't I bring it to my own recall? But I think you will find, my dear, that a lot of that would resonate with you.
Oh,
okay. Any other questions?
No, I don't think so.
Fabulous.
But I thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I've had so much. I do love doing this. It is so much fun for me, because when I talk to you and talk to others, I just see live. They're like it's like watching a movie.
Yeah, that has to be.
It's not work for me. This is fun. Thank you, and I hope you listen again.
Oh, and I will.
We're going to have Patty Conklin. I don't know if you know her, and we're going to have James Wanless, and we're going to have a number of really wonderful, wonderful human beings. Coming and joining us in the future. So I'm
I
hoping that you will make a habit of listening.
Oh, sure will. Thank you so much, Phyllis.
Blessings to you, too. Have a great day.
Okay,
bye-bye, sugar.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, anyone else want to call, please feel free to do so. As I said, this is one of these things that I just love doing, because it's so fascinating. And having people confirm that their gifts are from this era. And it validates both them and me. It's fun. Yes, good evening. Welcome to the Higher Dimension. May I help you?
Hi, Phyllis. This is Nancy from Washington State.
Hi, Nancy. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Oh, how wonderful. It's lovely to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you.
What can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if you could tell me something about a past life that might pertain to my life now.
Okay. Am I right in the feeling that it has something to do with the situation you're going through?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing, and I don't ask me why. Now, I am seeing. First, instance, I'm going to have to throw at you what I saw were mountains.
Okay.
What I saw were dark mountains. Now, these are not mountains I'm familiar with, okay? So I'm going to grope here and say if I were to grab a part of the world and sing out Louisa with it, it would probably be near Albania or the area in the upper, northern Italy, heading towards what they call the Tyrol. I'm woefully inadequate on my geography here.
Uh-huh.
You know the area I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing that area. Could it be Czechoslovakia? That area that is the eastern part of Europe, may I guess? Does that make sense to you?
Kinda, maybe.
Okay. What I am seeing is that I think that was a hard life in which you struggled a great deal, because it was a life in which the people at that time, unless they were born into wealth, were pretty much deprived of the basic necessities of life. Okay.
Uh-huh.
My feeling is that it was a hard lifetime, and I feel that also it was not a long lifetime. My feeling is that you were a male at that lifetime, and I see you dressed almost, I would call it, as a shepherd, but I'm not sure you were a shepherd.
Uh-huh.
You may have been, but I'm not sure that you were exactly. I'm just saying, it just reminds me because of the way you're dressed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It just reminds me of that portion. So I don't know how you feel about herding sheep, but... or you happen to like animals, farm animals of some sort. I imagine that that's not a life that would have been much ease, because it would have been required of you at that time to be in the mountains in all kinds of weather.
Uh-huh.
And people did not live a whole long time. And there were wolves at that time. There were other animals, we would call them cats, wild cats, and it was a very, and I just don't get that you lived longer than your teenage years. I think also my feeling is that you were very angry about your lot in life, and that you felt that this is not where you should have been. And I'm going to say at that time I also have a feeling you may have been illegitimate, which would have made it even more difficult for you. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And there may still be questions of honor and family in here within your life, and difficulty in personal relationships and family relationship. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's some tension, and you're not quite sure where the sandhill is coming from.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything to sort of aggravate the condition. It just sort of kind of was what you were born into.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something that is going to require from you the long view. Now, I'm just checking inside my own mind here. What lifetime can we bring forward that will help you with this one? You chose that lifetime, and I will tell you, not out of punishment for something you had done.
Uh-huh.
But in order to learn how the other half lived, so to speak. For you, it was an experiment in one of life's dramas, okay?
Uh-huh.
So it was not punishment.
Okay.
And once you went through it, by God, it felt like it, because you hadn't a clue. Before that, your lifetimes had been fairly easy, but this was one where you chose... because you wanted to have empathy and sympathy to help others. And this is one of the ways you sampled life, like a box of chocolates.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that was part of the feeling of you didn't really belong there. Okay?
Yeah.
And you really didn't. But having made that decision when you were footloose and fancy free in the other world, so to speak. You learn real quick. This is not one of those things you wanted to repeat, okay?
Uh-huh.
But what happened is the karmic residue of others who lived with you brought a great deal of resentment, more on their part than yours, so that you're left with, what the hell? You know?
Yeah.
You don't quite understand it, because it's really them reflecting themselves on you and putting you in that position. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you felt that before?
Yes.
Okay. So in this instance, darling, it's not really you. It is the other person. The only thing that I can suggest in dealing with that situation is to just surround the people, and I think it's more than one person.
Yeah.
In question. Pardon?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. The only thing I can suggest is that you surround them with love. And if you have to mentally visualize this, mentally visualize this bundle of worms, this difficulty, this unhappiness, and ceremoniously make a gift of it to them. And you can wrap it up in ribbons if you like.
Uh-huh.
But ceremoniously hand back to them this stuff for them to work out on their own, and then simply, or not so simply maybe, back away with blessings and just send them love and kind thoughts and just pick up your marbles and go on with our life, because this is not going to resolve itself in this lifetime.
Okay.
And all you're going to do is throw good intentions after bad, and it is simply going to burden you further in the future, because this resolution is not going to be a happy camper situation for
okay.
other people. They're holding on too hard to the past without knowing it. And there's a lot of desire to punish here. A lot of desire to punish.
Mm.
And you just don't deserve it.
Okay.
It's not something that's part of your life experience. And as I said, simply love these people and send them on their way. And all you can do is keep good thoughts in the future. But just sever the ties. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, any other lifetimes that you want? Right now, we can just lick all the problems of the world. I feel so high tonight on good spirits that we can clean up the entire planet. How about that?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome.
Who's
with
me
on this? Every lady, get your broom and let's sweep clean.
That's right.
You know, I've often thought if I ever had to meet someone in a fight, I would grab a broom or a rolling pin, and let me tell you, there are not too many males on the face of this earth, I don't care how well-equipped they are, that would charge a woman wielding a broom.
You know, I think you're right. Wow.
I'm glad.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what? They're cheap. Here, $5-$10, we can sweep up clean.
Well, there we go. Let's do it.
Are there any other questions or areas that you would like to go over tonight while you're still on?
Well, you know what? I do have a question. I don't know if you could help me with it.
Go ahead.
But it just came to me, and I'm going to ask anyway.
Go ahead.
I have a half-sister that I didn't know about until my father passed away.
Okay.
And I know that she's in my area. She was at my father's funeral, but I
uh-huh.
didn't realize who she was until after it was over with.
Okay.
She didn't sign the book, and we have nobody in the family to ask about her.
Hmm.
And I have been trying to locate her, and I do feel that I've had a couple of visions where I have met her. I
uh-huh.
know that she looks a lot like my middle sister.
Uh-huh.
And there was one day I was talking to her at where I work, not realizing who she was, and about 15 minutes into the conversation, I said, oh, my gosh, you look just like my middle sister.
Uh-huh.
She clammed up and never talked to me again.
So you actually met her, right?
Yes, I know that was her.
Okay, and you made the comment, you look like my middle sister?
Yes, and when I said that, all conversation stopped, and it was like, since I was at work, I couldn't pursue it any further.
Okay.
And I didn't realize I had a half-sister until my middle sister came forward and asked me if I knew who she was.
I see. Well, it's obvious that she knew who you were, am I right?
I believe so, yes.
Because she came to your dad's funeral. All right. Now, what's your question?
If I am going to be at the locator, or if she's going to come to me one day, I mean, I've been sending her love, and I feel like she's probably feeling like I'm going to judge her, and I'm not. I mean, she's
okay.
My sister, and I would love to welcome her into my family.
Okay. My feeling, and you dreamed about this too?
I had a vision where I met her. She walked up to me, and my mother was sitting there at the time, but my mother was transparent, so I'm assuming it was because my mother had passed on.
Right, that's correct.
Which she did. She passed away 6 years later. She just passed away 6 months ago.
Oh, my dear, okay.
So I'm feeling that she's going to come forward, but being who I am, I really want it to happen now.
Yeah, yesterday.
And
my feeling is the issues that she have are hers, and she's not quite sure and ready yet to meet with you. The fact is you have met, but on a spiritual plane.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That meeting was engendered by your mom, and that's why she was there, because your mother was part of the getting together. It's something your mother wanted to.
Okay? Oh, okay.
And she was there simply as a mediator to say, here, you know, and it's okay. Your sister is going to have to take time, because I think what's wrong is from how she views things from her side of the fence.
Right.
Okay. And she is, she's kind of wounded. I get the feeling that, while she may have known about you for a while, that kind of hurt her.
Uh-huh.
And she needs some time. And so you are doing absolutely the right thing in sending good thoughts, and let her come to you. Make it, you know where she is. She knows where you are. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know where she is. I just know that she's got to be within this area to have found out about my father's death.
Right.
And that she was at the hospital where I work with her, I assume, either boyfriend or husband.
Uh-huh.
You know, 5 years ago, so she knows where I'm at. I look
okay.
A lot different than I did back then, but she knows where I work.
Okay, okay. This is something that's going to be up to her, not up to you.
Okay.
All right.
And I can accept that.
Yeah, okay. Just send out loving thoughts and vibes, just that you accept her. And this will come through to her, because right now she's got stuff on her plate, I'm thinking.
Okay.
She's got some issues in life. And she doesn't feel that she can quite handle everything.
Okay.
And this, to me, is something that I'm not sure what the family dynamics are, but there's a lot of emotion with this.
Okay.
On her side.
Yeah.
Okay. So the best thing you can do, as I said, is do what you're doing, which is perfect.
Okay.
And you will see her again.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. I really did.
Well, you are going to be seeing her again. Okay?
Okay.
And this time, you're going to be able to talk to her and maybe set up a more of a relationship, okay?
Okay.
Excellent.
Oh,
excellent.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Phyllis. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, honey. I just love doing this. I'm so glad people are calling. There are times I sit here, you know, and I wonder, is there anybody out there?
You know, I'm always listening to you, and I want to call, but I don't want to take, you know, because I've done it before, I don't want to be greedy and take all of you.
Oh, don't worry. If nobody else wants me, you can have me.
Oh, okay. Well, there's probably a lot out there like me that just don't want to take up all of your time, but, oh, God bless you.
Oh, honey, thank you. You just made my evening, believe me. It feels so good to be able to do and share like this. It really does. Don't worry about taking too much of my time. If you feel called, move to call me. By all means, do. I am always delighted to hear people, and I'm always delighted to be of service, because sometimes I feel I don't have enough that I'm doing as far as giving to other people, and this makes me feel really good about myself,
okay? Oh, my
goodness.
You just don't know how much you give to us. So thank you
oh,
on behalf of all
you.
Of us.
Thank you, darling. My blessings to you, and you and your sister will be my prayer.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too, sweetie.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Oh, this is so nice. I'm so here to love to hear people and talk to you. At any rate, part of what I was saying is some of the most wonderful thoughts that we have, and part of this in the as she did in dreaming about her sister and meeting her, very often when we want to prepare the way, we will dream about something, and often our relatives will be there to either provide security and a known factor, like their relationship, and to signal they're okay, because when we move out of this particular existence, we're all one. Yes, good evening. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions.
Yes, hi. My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay, not bad. And you?
I'm just fine. Thank you. How may I help you this evening?
Oh, I see. I noticed you've been taking a lot of calls with readings. Maybe I would, if you could do maybe a reading for me.
Certainly. You want to know about a past life?
Maybe I could do that. I mean, I've had someone do a reading of past life. Maybe I could see what you think about it.
Okay. Now, is there something in particular in your life that you are curious about as far as a reading goes, or you just want to see what information just pops up out of the universe?
Just general, I guess.
Just general?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you live in the Midwest?
No. Northeast.
Okay. Pardon?
Northeast.
Northeast, okay. All right. I was seeing some mountains, and I always have a tendency to say Midwest when I see mountains, but I don't mean Ohio Valley, right? My feeling is that you had, sometimes you're very, very closed in as a person. You know, you don't really share a whole lot of your inner thoughts with a lot of people. Is this correct?
With strangers, yes, but, you know, with family members.
I'm sorry?
With strangers, yes, but with family members, I pretty much tell, you know, pretty straightforward.
You're straightforward. With family members, yeah, but with other people, I don't feel that you are...
No, I don't.
No, quite as open, yeah. I was not feeling restrained, right, yeah. With your family, yeah. My feeling, too, is I'm getting a strong sense that you have had some past lifetimes, and again, this comes up, especially with many people in this era, that you have had, again, traveling, and I see as a teacher, and but also as someone who taught with almost a religious fervor, and I don't see you necessarily as a monk or a priest, or even a nun, but it was a philosophy that you taught, and that you believed in, and that you believed in sharing, and you went to very many places, and we're talking about the Middle Ages here, long time ago, and you traveled a great deal during that period of time, and for someone in that era, you were a very well-traveled person. Okay.
Well,
you also met a great many people who were very important and were fascinated. You kind of were a repository for information, almost like a traveling historian. Does that make sense to you?
No,
I'm sorry?
I mean, I don't recall any of this. It doesn't sound anything, but...
It doesn't what?
I can't recall any of this. I mean, I don't... No.
No, but do you have does history talk to you?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. So history doesn't talk to you so much?
Well, you mean, do I know anything about this as far as history is concerned?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel drawn to history and historical?
Oh, yes, I do, yes.
Yeah, well, that's
definitely
kind of what I'm saying, that love and knowledge has come from that lifetime.
Oh, okay.
Where you traveled. Also, I don't think you're in awe of people with power, are you? In other words, if you were to meet the President of the United States or senators or ambassadors, you wouldn't be overawed.
Not at all.
Okay. See?
Most of them are corrupt, that's why.
Pardon?
Most of them are corrupt.
Well,
it could be
besides that, there's still you can still think somebody is corrupt, but you'll still look at them with awe because
yeah,
of the power they have.
Yeah.
You follow?
Yeah, because I
don't approve of their politics and their behavior. There are people who are still impressed with power, and those who are
not.
Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you hit it right in the head.
Okay. So my saying is you've met powerful people in your past, so for you it's kind of, in a sense, old hat.
Right.
So you're not shaken by it, and that's one reason why you can't be bought, by the way.
Okay.
Am I right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And, or you want to put it another way, nobody has been wealthy enough to buy you yet.
Right.
Okay. And they probably never would. All right.
I guess I would be a good leader, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
You would, but in this lifetime, you've chosen a back seat, okay?
Yeah.
You've chosen to be more of an observer.
Mm-hmm.
You do have very, very strong instincts as far as, morals and ethics are concerned.
Yeah.
You are highly ethical. And you expect other people to hold to the same standard.
Yes.
Okay. This comes from part of your background and training where you were, as I said, a philosopher and a teacher. And you had very, very high ethics and standards. You hold yourself to them and you expect other people to hold to them. And because you are basically incorruptible in that sense,
mm-hmm.
you have little sense or patience or kindness for those who can be corrupted. You consider them more or less weak.
Right, yeah.
And fools, in another sense.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this is not criticizing you, okay? This is just how you came to be that way.
Right.
And how you came by who you are and what you are today.
Mm-hmm.
All right? None of this is bad unless you judge yourself to be better than them. And I don't think you do. Different, yes. Better, I don't think you get that around.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, this is what where we're coming from, all right? You would go absolutely ranting, raving wild if you had to go into politics because you couldn't tolerate the shenanigans that goes on.
Yep.
Okay. Although you were drawn to politics, you would like it as a theoretical concept if we were all honest and everything and above board.
Yep.
You know, you'd love it. But as it is, you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you know why. You do have very high ethics and standards. You were a rabbi at one time.
Wow.
Okay. And that's part of your history. Because talking to the people, and you were one of those 40 leaders in the desert under Moses. Okay.
Who was I?
You were one of those who had a section of the people. You can read whatever, I don't know if it's Leviticus or whichever one it is.
Wow.
I'm a little shaky on my Bible today.
Okay.
But you can read that and you can feel. If you allow yourself to feel, you will feel a familiarity and an understanding. And, yeah, this makes sense in the way that it was set up so all the people could have justice. Okay? And you're very strong about justice, too. Injustice makes your blood boil.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Am I correct?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
So my feeling is that you are a very good human being. You came in this lifetime because there were some things you wanted to be hanging around for, and one of them is the new millennium, and it is the energy and the power that is being brought forth, and you were a part of a desire to be on this earth at this time because you have spent lifetimes building towards this. You are one of those who is one of the higher souls, okay? And you have managed to avoid most of the pitfalls in your lifetimes because you've chosen carefully. Sometimes you haven't lived as fully as you could, okay?
Mm-hmm.
you have not enjoyed life as much as you could. But you did what you did out of a caution and concern so that you would not have to pay a heavy price.
The afterlife?
Pardon?
Would that, because of the afterlife, you mean?
Yeah.
Spiritual?
Okay. And having to come into another lifetime where
right.
you'd have to get your buns kicked.
Right.
Okay. So you've been very careful under those circumstances. All right. But you are a high soul. I do see you as on one of the councils in another dimension. Okay?
You are here
to help the Earth move through transition because you are one of the anchors. Does this make sense to you?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I have, like, in another dimension right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, isn't my soul only one singular, or...
No, your soul, like many of us, are in, you are really an oversoul. We have more than one dimension we live in at any given moment.
Okay.
Okay. And in that other dimension, you are occupying time and space and working elsewhere, which is why sometimes when you get up in the morning, you feel like you've been dragged through a knot hole backwards.
I see. So.
Okay.
Okay, so in this other dimension, I'm supposed to be like a...
Yeah, you have, on another dimension, you're actually a counselor. You are also someone who steps in weighs and balances, okay? You are one who makes decisions on whether or not something should go one way or another, or if something should, a particular situation should be allowed to continue or to be turned back.
Right.
Something of that nature. It's very hard for me to pin it down, especially on the show, okay?
Yeah.
So some of it is very very private, okay?
Right.
All righty. But basically, yeah, you are well-known, and you've elected to come here at this time and to be a part of what we're going through at this time, okay?
Okay, wow.
And... you'd be much commended for holding to the fast to the ideals, because it's been very, very tricky in some situations. It's been very hard. There have been times when it would have been very easy to move to the left or the right and not stay on the path, but you've been very careful about that.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
That was similar to a question I had. Like, as far as right now.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, a lot of people are talking about 2012. What do you see myself still on the same path, or
you're staying on this path, if that's what you're asking? And you were talking about the year 2012, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a feeling you're going to be moving
to
another area?
I might be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, my feeling is there's going to be a move before too terribly long, and it's the right move for you. And it's not one that you'll really want to make, and you think, well, it's not, maybe not work. Maybe I'll just, you know, go for a real short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to find that you will move into a group of people that will be more simpatico with you, shall we say?
Compatible.
Pardon?
Compatible,
yeah. Simpatico, Spanish
okay.
word. Much more, you know, you will feel more at home and more comfortable with these people. And it's a different area of the country. It's not the East Coast. Okay?
West Coast? Towards the West Coast?
It's towards the West Coast, yeah. In that area, generally. But not all the way to the ocean, no.
No, because I was thinking about Arizona.
Maybe Colorado.
Yeah, I was looking for that too, but
Colorado was more what I was seeing, the Rockies.
Okay.
Could be New Mexico, but up in that region.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that would be a good move for you.
It would be?
Yes.
Okay.
But you'll know it when it comes, because when it comes, it's going to be very synchronistic for you. You're not going to have to be worried about it too much. Things will simply fall into place, quote-unquote.
I see.
Okay? And that's kind of what you like to have happen for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like to, because then you feel more comfortable knowing you're doing what's the right thing.
Yeah, it seems like I'm a stalemate in this
area. It doesn't work?
It seems like I'm not comfortable in this area.
Right.
I don't know, it's just something's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean on the east?
Yeah, I guess it's like you've seen it and that's it. You know when you experience a location or you experience anything, after a while it kind of gets old and you want to see something new.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Things are going to change and you'll know because you will get a very strong signal from a work standpoint,
mm-hmm.
From friendship standpoint. Things are going to start really pointing its way to it's time to leave. And you'll know. You'll know. You'll have dreams about it at first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you will feel immersed in it, and you will know. So it won't be a huge guess for you. And that's kind of the way you prefer things to be. You kind of like to be guided by spirit, so to speak.
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Any other questions, sir?
I think that's it.
Fabulous.
You did a really good job.
You've been fun to talk to.
Yeah, you really...
I hope you keep listening, and I hope you'll call again.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you.
I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this has been an absolutely fun, fun evening. I don't know. The time has gone by so fast, I can't believe it. This just gives me such a high, quite frankly, to do this kind of work and to give readings and to do looking at past lives and play with what comes in and the information. It's just fabulous, and I'm really so happy that you all called. And we're going to be doing this again before too terribly long because I'm almost starved for doing this kind of work. As I said, it's so much fun to me. But the time is slipping away, and I wanted to remind you that again that I am Phyllis Pricer, and the show you're listening to is The Higher Dimension. And we're going to have some wonderful guests. I'm not sure who's coming next week. I'm trying to get Patty Conklin in. But we will be having other guests. And James Wanless is one. Jacqueline Aldana of the 15-Minute Miracle is coming in March 8th. And Mr. Wanless is coming in, I think, at the end of March, beginning of April. And I can tell you in April, I am going to have a series of two or three weeks where we're going to talk with Nikki Pitikin, who is a yoga instructor. And we're going to talk about different aspects of yoga and how healing it is and what to do, what you can do and how you start learning and the use of yoga as far as children is concerned and hypnobirthing and the use of massage for moms-to-be, and we're going to have Alan Chips back, and maybe we'll have his lovely wife, Dee Chips, and we're going to have Will Horton, and a few other really, really wonderful, wonderful people, and I am so delighted that you brought me into your home this evening, and I am so looking forward to talking to you again next week. I haven't gotten my little few-minute warning here, and so I'm just going to plug myself and say I do readings, and I do over the phone, and I do hypnotherapy over the phone if you need to have that done, and I do past live readings, as you can see. Feel free to call me at area code 202-387-2080, and we'll set you up with an appointment. My website is Multiple Pathways. You can always reach me through bbsradio.com. And again, I hope you have a wonderful evening, and you've been wonderful to me this evening, and I just love it. God bless you all. You have a very wonderful time and enjoying a safe and pleasant week. Good night, and thank you for listening to The Higher Dimensions on BBS Radio. Goodbye.